is written in Isaiah chapter 42. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. The bruised reed he will not break. The faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out and spread out the earth and what comes from it, and gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, out of the prison, those who sit in darkness. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for the baptism of our Lord is based upon the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me. But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. That's part of the text. The kingdom of God is at hand. In Christ Jesus. And his baptism is your holy baptism. For he has done all things for you. God instituted such a means of grace for a reason. It is intended to be received, to deliver you through Christ Jesus, to deliver to you what only he has gained or procured for you through such a watery means of grace. You, by faith, become a beloved son of God the Father. You become well-pleasing to him. Through such a watery means of
grace, he has bound you to himself, and himself to you, by and with his own name. And he has poured out his Holy Spirit upon you. With all of that, you now find yourselves living in the arena between God and the devil. And you are driven into personal conflict with the devil, the world, and your own sinful nature. Day by day, you are tempted by these enemies to doubt, to deny, disobey the word of your Father. While God, however, tests you, tries your heart and mind to live by faith in his word and the promises of what is delivered in holy baptism. Thus, you are daily being put to death and raised to a new life through Christ Jesus. Life is a battlefield when the kingdom of God invades the devil's stomping grounds. So too, because Christ Jesus has been baptized to be your champion and your savior, he immediately is driven by the Spirit of God from the waters of his own baptism into the wilderness, there to be tempted by Satan, to engage that wicked foe in a strange and dreadful contest. Thus the Son of God goes out to meet that wilderness and an even bigger and more wicked Goliath than this world has ever dreamed. Wilderness is where Christ contends with Satan, because the wilderness is where you are tested and trained. The wilderness is where fallen sinners learn how to yearn for paradise again. It is the long stretch between Egypt and Canaan. Is where your Christians are taught to live in the kingdom of God, not by sight, but by faith alone. To that end, it is in the wilderness that you are called to repent and believe the gospel. But it is especially at those two points that you are also tempted by the devil. As I always teach in catechesis, tempting is the devil drawing you away from God. Testing is God drawing you closer to himself. The Lord God tests you and tries you in order to strengthen and clarify your faith and confession. The devil tempts you into evil in order to rob you of life and bring you to death and condemnation. So it is that Satan entices you to sin against God's word. But then, Satan is also the first in line to accuse you and bring charges against you. At every point in your life, this battle is waged in your successes and in your suffering and failures, in what you have and in what you lack or lose, in what God has promised and in what you covet for yourself, which God has not given you. Always the devil is tempting you to question and contradict, to ignore and despise what God has spoken
confessing God. He found confessing God to be true and everything else a lie. There is a place for exhorting you, or proclaiming to you to trust the Lord your God or cling to His Word. And that exhortation is found in God's Word. But it's imperative that you know that the only reason you can trust Him or cling to His Word is because, come hell or high water against you, it is God that has a hold of you. It is His promises to you, His Word and sacraments that create and sustain you. He, working through them, is the sure and certain one. Do not despair of His goodness, or let go of His good gifts. Sometimes crass and sometimes subtle, the devil is always crafty, and every sin to which he tempts you is dangerous and deadly. That is how serious you should take sin. As Luther exhorts in Christian Questions with Their Answers, that is how horrified you should be about your sin. The Bible speaks only to your flesh. Where is it that you truly live? In the kingdom of God, or with the devil in his prison house of death and despair? That is what it comes down to. And you cannot have it both ways. By the grace of God, be repenting and believing. Now is the time. The kingdom of God is at hand. God yearns that you live in His holy baptism of you. Why else would He have instituted it? Remember what God has said and done for you. Why? Because He wants you to recall what He has brought you to confess, that you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways. That doesn't mean that you should now be reliant upon you to keep your salvation. By no means. It is by God's grace alone that you even have a confession of faith. For faith is a gift of His to you. And He continues to keep you in the one true faith. He continues to point you to the Son through His Word and sacraments, because it is in Him that you are placed through holy baptism. It is in Him that you truly have your life now and in eternity. Do not suppose that you can live a double life with one foot in the world and one in the church. Sacrifice your idols, no matter how precious they may be, no matter how difficult it may be, no matter how ludicrous it may sound. You only live in Christ Jesus. Rely upon His promise and call upon His name in the confidence that He provides, that He has rescued you and raised you up, even from death and the grave already, but just not yet fully. It is here that you
righteousness intended to be received. It is here that you shall not starve, for God delivers to you his food intended to be received. You shall not die alone. God is with you. In fact, he has turned death into a portal into the heavenly realms, intended to be received. God is baptized into your sins to die for you. He has gotten death over with. That is your surety and your salvation. His fully atoning merits brings grace upon grace and creates and sustains faith, which receives his intentions. Just as the Lutheran confessions profess, the remission of sins is of faith, that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure. God has set himself as your great champion. He is faithful. He does what he has promised. There's no shifting or turning with him. You are sheltered in the shadow of his wings. Rejoice. The kingdom of God does not rest upon your faithfulness, nor even upon your repentance and faith, for it is not of you anyhow. The kingdom of God is at hand in the flesh and blood of Christ. It is as sure and certain as his nativity, as his baptism, as his life, death, and resurrection from the dead. Repentance and faith, your life and salvation, they are firmly established upon and in him. That is doing upon you, including the receiving. As the 7th and 8th grade Christian doctrine class is taught when studying the sacrament of the Holy Baptism, the third part, or the third question of this fourth chief part, asks, how can water do such great things? Well, what are the great things? What good is it to ask the question if there is no knowledge of what the great things are? Well, the great things were mentioned in the previous question and answer, which asks, what benefits does holy baptism give? Answer, it works or delivers forgiveness of sins, life, and eternal salvation. Those are the great gifts. Those are the great things. But are they just given? They certainly have been fully acquired by Christ and his propitiating act. But are they delivered no matter what? What does the Catechism teach? What's the rest of the answer? What benefits does holy baptism give? Answer, it works or delivers forgiveness of sins, life, and eternal salvation to all who believe this. Just as the words and promises of God declare. And so is answered. How can water do such great things? Certainly not pristine by his own blood. Be fed from his hand with his very own body and blood. For by himself he has sworn that you are his, and he is yours forever. Heaven stands open and is intended to be received by you believers in the kingdom of God.